This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. 9 a.m. to noon. This is Power Talk on Power 98.7.
Indeed, this is a Power Talk as the time hits 23 minutes to the hour, 11 o'clock. And today we are hoping to speak to Mavuso Msimang, who's a veteran of the liberation struggle. And he's expected to speak to us on the relevance of the Freedom Charter in present-day South Africa. As you'd know, on June 25th, 1955, a historic multiracial convention, which is known as the Congress of the People, convened in Cliptown to draft the Freedom Charter. And this document was adopted on the 26th of June 1955, and really laying the foundation for South Africa's constitution, and continues to be a touchstone in the country's political and social landscape as we approach the 69th anniversary of the Freedom Charter's adoption. And after 30 years of democracy, we reflect on its declarations, the issue of nationalization, for instance, which has come up even in recent times, and how the Charter should speak to the South Africa of today. I do believe that we have Mr. Msimang with us. He is a veteran of the liberation struggle. Mr. Msimang, a pleasure to have you on the program this morning.
Thanks very much, Dantla. I'm happy to join you and to speak to you and your listeners.
Let's speak about the foundational impact of the Freedom Charter. How do you view the impact of the Freedom Charter on the anti-apartheid struggle, but also its role in shaping South Africa's transition to democracy?
Oh, yes. The Freedom Charter, of course, was drawn up in 1995. The significant thing about it was that because of the apartheid arrangement, people of South Africa were classified according to ethnic and race groups and could not work together. So you had in 1955, the Congress of the People coming together, and it consisted of the African National Congress, the South African and Indian Congress, the Colored People's Congress, and the Congress of Democrats representing the progressive white community. They came together and said, in spite of these separation being fostered by the apartheid arrangement, they should come together. There's a common South Africa that they must fight for as Democrats, not as Indians or Africans alone. And so that's the group that came together. And in Cliptown, outside Joburg here, in 1955, they adopted the Freedom Charter, which, among many things, it's a very simple document to read, but said South Africa belongs to all who live in it, and declared that the freedoms should be enjoyed by all. This was a statement bold in the sense that you would be aware of, so that the apartheid government had actually cordoned off some 13% of South Africa and called it Bantustans, and that was the place where African people, the vast majority, I think there would have been 70-80% of the population, should have as their home. The rest of South Africa was white, in short. Mm-hmm. So the declaration was that South Africa, all of it, belongs to all legitimate citizens. And so it became the foundational document that led eventually to the formation of the Constitution of South Africa, which is regarded by very many people, and in which, by the way, people of stature, people like Oliver Tambo and others, had their imprint. Yeah.
So let's speak about the achievements and shortcomings of the Freedom Charter. To what extent do you believe the goals outlined, specifically in the Freedom Charter, have been achieved in the past 30 years of democracy? Can you highlight any specific successes or areas where progress has been lacking?
Well, the first one is that South Africa is a united country. There are no Bantustans anymore. But the political organization is not based on ethnicity. People don't leave as arranged at the time. So, but the Freedom Charter has led to the establishment, to the formation of political forces that force based on their beliefs, on their as South Africans. So you belong to the ANC because you believe that its policies declare that you shall have a country that will have free enterprise. I think at a certain time there were issues of nationalization. We can talk about that with the passing of time. But it was that everybody has a right to live in this country, regardless of their ethnic, religious, or any other background. This is achieved. This is the essence of the outcome of the Freedom Charter.
Do you believe that the areas that we have been lacking in actually seeing the vision of the Freedom Charter fulfilled?
What actions, which areas in particular were you thinking of?
I can probably imagine issues around education, for instance, where in some parts of the country, still children go to school under a tree, for instance, or don't have proper ablution facilities.
Oh my God, absolutely. No, no, no. I cannot disagree with you. And you have obviously read it well.
Yeah.
There should be free education.
Yes, indeed.
It should be freedom. You know, people have a right to good health, to sanitation, et cetera, et cetera. The implementation has been far from perfect. Absolutely has been far from perfect. So in the sense that our education system today is really, it is in a crisis. People may not want to talk too much about that. It's not going to produce the kind of people who can lead this country in the future. For many reasons, there's been a lot of research that points to that. That is a failure, yes, in terms of the achievement. One of the objectives of the Freedom Charter, our health system is not working well. That's why you get everybody repairing to the private sector and getting who can taking up insurance because the infrastructure, the performance of our public sector is quite bad. There were targets that were placed not so much by the Freedom Charter, but in terms of the objectives of the Freedom Charter about how water, how sanitation and all of those things should be provided to the people. There is a really big failure in that sense.
A quick reminder that we are in conversation with Mavuso Msimang, who's an ANC veteran, of course, taking us through the Freedom Charter, where as we celebrated right now, historic multiracial convention known as the Congress of the People convened in Cliptown near Johannesburg to draft what would make up this document that is the Freedom Charter. Mr. Msimang, as we move the conversation forward, we touched a bit on issues around nationalization. Let's speak about the economic vision of the Freedom Charter. The Freedom Charter called for the nationalization of key industries. How relevant do you think this policy is in addressing today's economic challenges in the country?
Yes, this is a point that is raised quite frequently. Absolutely, that is how people saw things at the time. And I think as they as developments in the country, in the world, were taking place. I remember Mandela came out saying we'll nationalize in terms of the Freedom Charter. Indeed, I think the Communist Party and other people want nationalization. I think what we should recognize is that nationalization should not be an end in itself. Its aim is to ensure that there is equal distribution, optimum achievement of income. Let me restate this. The end of nationalization, as it was seen, was that it would place the resources in the hands of the people, and therefore they would have a better life. They would it would enable them to have a better education and all of those things. But nationalization, its purpose was to achieve a particular aim. Its abandonment must have to do with an evaluation of how, for instance, effective nationalization has been. You know, there has been a tussle across the world globally between the capitalist system and what you would call the socialist system.
Right.
In many instances, nationalization per se has not translated into the improvement of the lives of the people. I can give you an example. For instance, the minerals in this country belong to the nation. People who mine them have to pay a fee and spend quite a bit of money digging that gold, sometimes 2 kilometers underground, and finding it or not finding it. If, in my view, the government were to spend a lot of its own money and do the mining itself, you have situations where after spending millions of rand, you don't find minerals that are worth the effort. So efficiency for me and control and are what should determine how you structure things. You can talk about nationalized, I don't know how we would say the Transnet was under the state. And because of failures of management, it is in a terrible state. So would Transnet work better denationalized and put in the private sector? I don't know. I think you do need to improve. I think organizations like that, which provide infrastructure for industry to build and to deliver services, can safely be left in the hands of government. Absolutely, absolutely. It worked in the past, and with proper management, it can be done. It can work. So I'm just saying, really, nationalization as a dogma does not in and of itself produce the desired results.
Right.
If there is a more efficient way of getting what you want to get, improving the lives of the people and all of that, then do it by all means.
Mr. Msimang, if you'll indulge me, I'd like to take a couple of calls right now, as a number of our listeners also want to engage with this document that is the Freedom Charter, but also interpreting its relevance today, for instance. We go to Orlando West and speak to Bandile. Bandile, what's on your mind this morning?
Hey, Ntando, kunjani?
Ngiyaphila, Baba. Go ahead.
Ah, bengicela ungibuzele nje lapho kubaba Mavuso ukuthi masizothi iSouth Africa eka wonke umuntu ohlala kuyo asukuphika izwe lethu lokho. And ubani futhi i-author yayo i-Freedom Charter. Ngiyabonga bhulu.
Thank you so much. Maybe let's deal with those very quickly, Mr. Msimang. You can respond.
Yes, thank you. The author of the Freedom Charter are the many people who met, delegates who met in 1955, as I've indicated. And they came from, if you're wanting the color or the race of the people, there was a preponderance of black people, there were colored people, there were Indian people, and there were white people. So yes, that's who produced the Freedom Charter. Israel Eletu, absolutely, Israel Eletu Sonke, but Israel Eletu does not exclude other certified citizens of this country. The fact that they came, conquered our land, and they did, I think the Constitution ought to make it clear that land can, and it does, be recovered and given back to the people. There's a section 25 of the Constitution that says that. But if the interpretation, if the understanding is that white people, because they are white or descendants of the people who came to colonize us, are not entitled to the rights of other citizens, it's something that I disagree with, and it's something that is not even implementable. I just try to imagine how you would achieve that, you would say you're white, or you would say you own land, and you own land because you're white, and therefore we're taking it. And how do you implement with that, to what purpose, and how do you use the land? I think the land right now is required very much for many things. Of course, we have to have land available to people who need it. I don't know whether when you say we must have land, you mean Mavuso because he's black must have land, and Slovo because he's white must not be entitled to that land. I hope you understand my drift.
I understand you quite correctly. Of course, as we continue our discussion with Mavuso Msimang, a veteran of the liberation struggle, who joins us today to discuss the relevance of the Freedom Charter in present-day South Africa, and still giving you the opportunity to engage with our guest, you, the power listener, on 0861-987-000. That's where Percy in Garankuwa has called us this morning, as well as Chloe in Ermelo. We take those calls in a short while.
9 a.m. to noon. This is Power Talk on Power 98.7.
With just 5 minutes left to our conversation with Mr. Mavuso Msimang, I'm going to give you, the power listener, an opportunity to engage with him with the very limited time that we have. So please keep your questions short and sweet. We go to Chloe in Ermelo. Chloe, what's on your mind this morning?
Good morning, brother Antanta and Baba. Yeah, my brother. You see, Baba, Freedom Charter has sought us out. Look, brother, townships were not built by this government. Townships were built by the government who hated us with passion. And we are still trapped there with this Freedom Charter. The Freedom Charter gave people who live in suburbs and in farms who are white in the main. Whilst we, black people, are still trapped in townships while they are doing what? Glorifying townships with tight roads, malls, and all those kind of stuff, including expanding townships, which are glorified shacks called RTP houses. That's not freedom. That's not the belonging. The country does not belong to all of us in that manner. So, Bawumsimang, maybe you are enjoying, you are living in a busy suburb, you don't understand what we are talking about on the ground. The country belongs to us, Africans. No, not Africans. In itself, Native Africans, us in the majority, who are trapped in squatter camps. So please, Babusi man, don't be out of touch.
Oli in Ermelo will give Mr. Msimang a right of reply as well. Let's quickly go to Garankuwa and speak to Percy. Percy, please keep it short and sweet.
Yeah, and Jake, how are you?
I'm very well, my brother. Go ahead.
Brother, thanks for having me. I think there's an emerging theme here that Msimang, who we must respect, also has to bear in mind. What often our elders, when they discuss the Freedom Charter, what they leave out a great deal is the historical context within which it was created, right? From at least within the African National Congress, it replaces the 1949 program of action. And this is exactly why a big number of members of the African National Congress were then pushed out and forced to leave the African National Congress, because of one specific issue that is within the Freedom Charter, that it falls into the trap of prioritizing the language that privileges the European diaspora, who are full citizens, but they are the language of the Freedom Charter, by saying that Africa belongs to all who live in it, black and white, without acknowledging the primacy of the conquest, the unjust conquest, and the loss of land. The ANC is created to recover something that is lost. And when you arrive at the Freedom Charter by responding to apartheid as opposed to continuing with restoration, you are then trapped into the language that privileges the interests of the, even the well-meaning, by the way, European diaspora in the country. So that creates the schism that you see the PAC leaving. The PAC does not leave the ANC because they don't believe that white people are full citizens, but they leave the ANC because the language of the Freedom Charter privileges their interests over this thing of recovery. And this is why, till today, we don't have the land. It is because the ANC gets tricked and tricked into privileging this language, or that privileges the European diaspora. And it seems to me that Generation Yabon Tatem Simang keep missing this thing, that it keeps coming over and over. And I propose that the result of the election is actually connected to this failure by our elders to acknowledge that it keeps creating schisms within the organization.
Got you, Percy. Got you. Mr. Msimang, with just under a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give us your final thoughts as we reflect also on some of the calls that we've received so far. Are we out of touch, or what are the biggest challenges that South Africa is facing in really fulfilling the promise of the Freedom Charter?
Oh, my God. You know, it's terrible because these programs are very limited. I wish we could have time and talk about this, and we don't have it now. I think there is nothing in the Freedom Charter that stopped people from the ANC or anybody for reclaiming the land. Nothing whatsoever. There is a 1913 Act that was passed, and it actually took additional land from people who were already settled and so on. In terms of that arrangement, the recovery of land from people who were specifically, it's called the land restitution, it's been very easy in that sense to say you took the land that belonged to so and so, so give it back to particular individuals. You understand what I mean? But when you talk about the generality of the land that was taken, you need to, perhaps you could nationalize that land and make it available to government so that it can be distributed according to need. Yeah. I try to understand what my brothers, my comrades, younger people are saying. How would you do it? Would you say, how would you transfer it back to the black people? The failure to deal with the township problems has nothing to do with the Freedom Charter. If we were to implement a proper land policy, we would deal with the issues that are being raised. The land is for use. Yes, if you own it, it's to be owned, but to use for housing, for agriculture, and so on. I don't hear much, for instance, about people saying, you know, we have not been able to do anything. Our rural development program is stymied because we have no land, etc. You know, I hear much about the need to take to get back the land, and absolutely, I cannot disagree with that.
Mr. Msimang,
once we get it, how do we handle it? You can say it's our business how we handle or mishandle it, but there must be a purpose to and a manner in which you can give the land for use by the people who need it.
Mr. Msimang, let me thank you for your time and really sharing your invaluable insights and reflections on the relevance of the Freedom Charter in today's South Africa. And to echo Mr. Msimang's assertions, this conversation does require more than just 30 minutes. Let's get the latest in news.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.